Invite you to turn to Revelation chapter 5. As has become my practice in the book of Revelation, I would like to get the setting before chapter 5 is read. Remember how this book works. John is on Patmos in exile. He is visited by an angel who brings a message from Jesus Christ concerning the things that are and will be. In chapter 1, we met the glorious Jesus Christ, the exalted, glorious Jesus Christ, the exalted Lamb of God. In chapters 2 and 3, this Jesus came and walked among the churches because He loves His flock and He cared for them, encouraging them, exhorting them, calling them to greater trust and faith in Him. Then in chapter 4, a door is opened into heaven. Another scene now appears, and John is lifted up into heaven as it is now. What is occurring now in heaven is seen. And in chapter 4, we beheld the glorious triune God, and we were called to worship Him for who He is. Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. We glory in God Himself. Do you worship God for who He is? The God Almighty, worthy of our praise. But then chapter 5 took a turn, for there was the darkest and saddest of scenes. And we looked at this last week. John is weeping. He's weeping. He's weeping because a great dilemma is occurring in heaven. There is a scroll, the scroll of history, with seven seals, and no one is worthy to open it. And John realizes that if the scroll is not opened, no one will be redeemed. All will go to hell eternally. And we behold in this scene the one who is worthy. And then this week, beginning in verse 8, we're going to see the response of all the created order. Let us be lifted up into heaven. This is your place. For when the 24 elders fall down, they represent all the saints of the Old Testament and all the saints of the New Testament, all the saints of all of history, past, present, and future. They're all in heaven. That is your place. This is your story. It is not distantly future. It is now. Then I saw the right hand of Him who is seated on the throne, a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that He can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And He went and took the scroll from the right hand of Him who was seated on the throne. And when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are You to take the scroll and to open its seals. For You were slain, and by Your blood You ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And You've made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, And I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. May God bless the reading of His inerrant, infallible, true word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, draw us into the reality that is ours as we behold heaven. Feed us, O Lord, the Lamb. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. The scroll will be opened in chapter 6. The seven seals will be unfolded for us. But as we come, we must take most seriously the weeping of John. You must take most seriously the weeping of John. Because John understands what you and I must understand, that if there is not one found worthy to open the Lamb, then you and I are lost. We are lost. For without remedy to your sin, you must stand before a perfectly holy God, of which we read in 1 Peter chapter 1 that said, "You must be holy as I am holy." John knows the holiness of God because he's in heaven beholding the exalted Jesus Christ. So holy is Jesus Christ in all His glory that in chapter 1, John fainted before Him as he beheld Him in His exalted state. He fell as if dead, symbolizing what every one of us would be without remedy. And so we behold here with awe that Jesus Christ, who is the Lion from the tribe of Judah, who is the Root of David, He is the conquering King, is now described in verse 6 as a lamb standing. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing. In your bulletin is an insert. It has circles of heaven. Most of you have seen this on more than one occasion. But be reminded of the scene that we saw in chapter 4 and we are unfolding in 5. In the center of heaven is this throne. And on the throne is the triune God. And around that throne are four living creatures. But before that are the 24 elders. So there's the throne. And then there's the 24 elders representing all of the redeemed saints. And then there are the four living creatures that we beheld were the seraphim, angelic hosts with unique callings to be servants to God Almighty. And then we're going to behold beyond that myriads and myriads and thousands and thousands, millions of angels singing. Central to this is the throne, and standing in front of the throne now is a lamb. It's not that the lamb is not upon the throne, but the image that is being set forth is that we can see the Lamb uniquely standing. It is the Lion from the tribe of Judah. Oh, the Almighty Lion. You must fear, understand how fearsome a lion is. This week, some poachers tried to kill some lions, and the lions won. And they destroyed between 7 and 10 men, from what I read, were ripped asunder. The might of a pack of lions. This is our Savior, Jesus Christ, the mighty warrior, conquering in glorious power all his enemies. But in order to conquer his enemies, the lion becomes the lamb. It's a shocking image, because the lamb would appear to be powerless. Lambs cannot survive on their own. What is the definition of a lone lamb? A dead lamb. He must be guided and cared for and shepherded. And yet this is the humility of the lion, to come as a lamb. And before the lamb standing as though it were slain. And we read that before it also he has eyes to and fro, which is the spirit that goes forth from him. And this lamb takes the scroll from his who sitteth on the throne. He takes the scroll. He takes the scroll because he is worthy. And now you must see the transition in our text. We go from the lamb and being in awe that the lamb is worthy to take the scroll, that Jesus Christ is the only one worthy because he's not a created being. They searched every aspect of the created order. The heaven above, the earth below, all the created here. They went into the heavenly arenas. They cannot find one worthy because they're all created beings. We must find one outside of that. And there comes Jesus, the Son of God, who is and was and always will be. He's worthy. He's worthy because he became the lamb slain because of the cross. And at that moment now, you have to ask yourself, what should the response be of every created being? What should be the response of you who are dead in your sins and have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? What must your response be? Well, look at how heaven responds. Verse 8, and when taking the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. The four living creatures represented all the seraphim. The 24 elders represent all of the redeemed saints who are in heaven redeemed. And what do? Together they fall down. You see, the choir is growing. The first choir in chapter 4 were the four living creatures. Then we had the 24 elders singing his praise. Now the two merge together. The choir is going to keep growing. This text is going to keep crescendoing so that the end of the text, it will be the most overwhelming, unexplainable glory at the apex of all of redemption. But notice what these 24, 28 cry out. They sang a new song. Worthy are to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain by your blood. You ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. They sing a new song. It's not an old song. They do not go back to the Psalter and sing a psalm. Singing the psalms as we do is most glorious. But the Psalms are all anticipatory. They're longing for its fulfillment, and we sing the songs and Psalms in light of Christ fulfilling them. Amazingly, Jesus, the redeeming Lamb, sang the Psalms. For he is not only the one who to whom we sing, but in his redemption he sings with us. No, we are a new psalm. Because in redemptive history, as redemption unfolds, new songs from the heart are sung. And so we sing psalms and hymns. Praise be to God that we can sing the words of the Lamb. And as they sing, please note in verse 8, the creatures are holding harps, which are instruments of great praise, and they have bowls full of incense, which are their prayers. What are the incense? Remember in the temple, when the lamb was being slain, it was a terrible stench. For lambs, flesh and blood was being burnt on an altar. And if you've ever smelt burning flesh, it's not a pleasant experience, and burning blood. And so there were constantly sweet-smelling incense being put forth to mask that awful smell with glorious, pleasant smells. Well, the blood of the Lamb was a pleasant smell in sacrifice to God Almighty. And it's the incense then from the prayer of the saints as they sing the praises that are a delight to God. Do you see what is going on? As the saints are praying, singing prayers of thanksgiving and worship, it's a delight to God. This is a positive, most pleasant thing that is occurring because God delights in them. In Psalm 142:1, the psalmist cries out this way, "Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting of my hands as evening sacrifice." Oh God, accept my prayers of praise in word and song as a sweet-smelling, pleasant incense unto you. And the words that come forth are words that you and I, as Christians, know well. But they should still cause us to fall upon our face in awe. "For you, the line from the tribe of Judah, now the Lamb, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God." You were slain. Your blood was spilt. You ransomed us. 1 Peter 1:18, "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." Are you reflecting at this moment that God Almighty, the God who was and is to come, Jesus Christ humbled himself to allow men, sinful men, to put him on a cross? That his blood would be spilt so that you could be ransomed. Ransomed from eternal wrath of God poured out in justice upon you. This Lamb is the fulfillment of every Lamb of the Old Testament. This is Abel's Lamb. Remember the first sacrifice? Abel faithfully makes a sacrifice, and he in his faithfulness is put to death by his brother. And yet we're told in Hebrews that he is in heaven because that lamb would be fulfilled in the lamb. This is Abraham's ram. He lifts the knife to take his son's life. And the angel cries out, "Do not drop the knife, Abraham." Probably Jesus Christ himself crying out. And he sees behind him a ram, and the ram is put upon the altar. The ram is put to death. Instead of Isaac, it is the ram. It is sacrifice. And that sacrifice was acceptable because the lamb came. This is the Passover lamb of Moses. The lamb slain. The blood put over the doorposts in Egypt. The angel of death comes. And when the blood is seen that was spilt, The people were ransomed out of slavery into freedom, heading to the promised land, only effective because that anticipated the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ himself, Abel's lamb, Abraham's ram, Moses' lambs, all the priests' lambs. Thousands and thousands of lambs put on an altar, and the priest putting his hand upon the head and saying, the sins of these people are being laid upon this lamb, anticipating the lamb to come. You see, this is the lamb who redeemed every Old Testament saint in his coming. And this is the lamb who has purchased every New Testament saint. One gospel, one lamb, one blood spilled by the lamb to ransom all the people. And it's people from every tribe, every language, and people and nation. It's the Gentiles in the fullness being brought in. Jews, Gentiles, people from all time, of all ages, of all race and color, tribe. And they're made a kingdom of priests. This is shocking. Priests? Priests could stand in the presence of God and make sacrifices. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices. You are priests in Christ. You're living lives filled with sacrifices. This is the great upgrade from the old to the new. But it's sinners made priests. It's rebellious sinners. It's sinners who do not deserve to be in a kingdom of God and to be priests, but rather be eternally separated in judgment. But they're made intimates with God, made in His kingdom, and priests to our God, where they can enter in the very Holy of Holies and be in His presence now. And then they shall reign. They shall reign. And note the language. It is personal. You redeemed a people. It does not say made possible the salvation of all who may well up faith to come. No, this is declaring that at the cross, when the Lamb was slain to ransom, He ransomed His sheep. His chosen of the Father, given to Him as a gift according to John, and He purchased them by name. That means that if you are in Christ, He purchased you at the cross by name. When He was on that cross being ransomed, bearing the wrath of sin, He knew all of your sins. He felt the weight of every thought, word, and deed that you will commit, have committed, and will commit in your lifetime. And He felt the stripe of justice on every one of your sins. And yet He remained on the cross. He bore your sins. He ransomed you. This is what the 24 elders understand. This is what the four creatures understand. Only they see it from a distance. The saints experience it. And that is why in the circles around heaven, the 24 elders are closest to the throne, because they understand redemption in a way the angelic beings cannot. For they did not experience what it is to be redeemed and saved and loved uniquely by Jesus Christ Himself. They were not elect in the same way that you are. Do you feel loved at this moment? That Jesus would know you? And know your vile sin. I don't want my head opened up to anyone to see what I have thought in thought, word, and deed over the years. And neither do you, I dare you. You do not. Because you know the perniciousness of your own sin. The shocking things that are in our hearts. And yet Jesus loved you. And that is why they cry out this way. And notice, it's going to grow in number as to who will sing. Verse 11, then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels. How many angels? Numbering myriads and myriads, A myriad is a term that means many and many, but now it gives numbers. Thousands of thousands. Okay, what's 1,000 times 1,000 times 1,000? And myriad, it is innumerable. There are so many angels now raising their voice that only can be described as unimaginable in number. And what are they saying? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And notice there's seven things now describing the Lamb. Early in the book there would be three. At one point there's four, now it's seven. Everything's getting bigger, isn't it? More numbers singing, more types of people and created beings singing. And now they say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Seven is a number of fullness in Revelation. The seven lists is listing every possible thing that would bring honor that the Lamb deserved is listed. Everything, all wealth, all power, all glory, wisdom, might, all blessing, it's full. There's nothing that does not bring glory to the Lamb, and He's worthy of all of it because He has all of it, because He is God Himself. And then they're joined with more. Amazing. And I heard every creature in the heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them. Okay, think about what's about being said. Every arena of any creation of God. Remember, He first created the heavens. That's the spiritual world. Then He created the earth, the physical world. And remember when they were looking for someone to open the scroll, what did it say? Verse 3, and no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll. They went to the heaven, the earth, and under the earth. Notice now what it says. From those same arenas comes creatures in heaven, in earth, and under earth. And they add one more thing. And even in the sea. Fascinating. It adds more. It says specifically, even in the sea. The thing that would be the hardest to search for us would be what? Well, we can't go in the spiritual world at this point. But on this earth, we could go to the tangible things. I could go to Mount Adams and search at the top of Mount Adams or Mount Stevens or Mount Rainier. I don't think I'd make Everest, but Rattlesnake Ridge. To search. But even the sea. Even the darkest sea in the Mariana Trench, so far down that we can't get there. Creatures there are joining all the spiritual creatures and every created being. And what are they doing? And I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and in the sea, and all that in them saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might. Forever and ever. We've now reached the apex of all of redemptive history. Because now we see what will be going on forever and ever. Every creature ever made will be bending their knee before the Lamb. Philippians 2. Right, we know this passage so well, Philippians 2. Therefore, God had highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and earth and under the earth. There's our three. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of the Father. The redeemed saints and all the creatures who have been faithful in the created order will all be worshiping Jesus Christ for all eternity. For they are crying out, blessed and honor and glory and forever and ever to the Lamb. But brothers and sisters, even the rebellious in hell, those who chose never to accept Jesus Christ, those who are under the curse of the sin, they will bend their knee. Because there will not be a single voice in all the created universe that will not acknowledge that Jesus Christ is worthy to be praised. They'll be bitter. They'll be angry. They'll be humbled. And they'll acknowledge Jesus Christ, and it will be too late. It will be too late. They will not get to join this throng. Do not go there. Do not be without Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain. Do not be those who turn away from the call of this text and sing your own praise. Sing your own song. Sing your own delight in who you are and what you're accomplishing and what you have in this world. For you will be separated from God in eternity. Instead, see the glory and join the voice of the saints and all the created being crying out, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Did you hear they've praised the one on the Lamb, the throne and the Lamb? It's chapter 4 and 5 merged together. It's the Trinity being worshipped, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in chapter 4. And it ends with the four living creatures saying, Amen. And the last thing said is the 24 elders fell down and worshiped. That's us. The 24 represent us. We fall down and worship. We must fall down and worship. You must this hour fall down and worship. Because if you see the Lamb, what else can you do? These are images created by the Spirit, given to John to try to help us understand what's occurring in heaven. It's infinitely more glorious than what's on the page. It's infinitely more delightful than we will ever experience. It will be infinitely more delightful to be in heaven and to join the angelic beings, to join the saints who've gone around us. It will be so glorious that no eye hath seen, nor ear heard, or that even entered in the mind of man, the great and glorious things God has for those who love Him. Fall down and worship this hour, the Lamb. For worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you were ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you've made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. These are to come from your mouth, your heart. And it drives you to worship this one. To worship Him in song, in prayer, and with your life. For in heaven, we will be holy. And we will worship Him in perfection. It must begin now. It must begin now. And praise be to God that Jesus Christ, the Lamb, whose blood was slain for us, has placed His perfect life upon us. And He mediates us before the Father. So our worship is acceptable even now, despite the remnant of sin. Can you believe it? Our worship is acceptable to God in the Lamb. Praise be to God for the Lamb. Fall down and worship before Him. Let us pray. Father, we cry out, worthy is the Lamb to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Father, we come and we fall down before the Almighty Lamb to sing His praises, to pray unto Him and to be heard, to know that right now we are in His presence spiritually,
safe and secure as the redeemed saints already in heaven, where our citizenship is safe. And we ask, O Lord, that we may worship you. As we sing, as we pray, as we read your word, as we live, may our lives be filled with the sacrifice of praise and obedience. May we present our bodies as living sacrifices unto the Lamb. But we acknowledge, O Lord, we are nothing without the Lamb, only the Lamb. Forgive us, O Lord, when we act as if we have something to bring before you other than our sin and rebellion. I plead with you for every soul in this congregation, every soul in this room, that they would know this Savior now and forever and ever. Open up blind eyes if they do not see yet. And hold on to the ones who see, that they may remain faithful, remain in the faith, remain worshiping you. And may we as a congregation lift up our voice in praise unto you, the one who is our Lamb, slain, ransomed, raised from the dead, exalted in glory. Praise be to the Lamb. Praise be to the one who hears our prayer. Praise to the one who is our mediator. Praise to Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.